Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have gathered here today to hear your word and to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may be strengthened in our faith and love for you by your holy word. Give us the comfort of knowing that with Jesus as our good shepherd, we truly have nothing to fear, but we can know that he works everything in our lives according to your plan and for our good. Hear us and bless us today for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Our hymns and readings can be found in your bulletin. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and have deserved only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give us all the strength to live according to His will. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, whose grace always precedes and follows us, help us to forsake all trust in earthly things and to find in you our heavenly treasure. We pray this in your saving name, for you live and you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We read verses 1 through 10. I would definitely echo Paul's words in the first two verses of our text, as in my ministry here, I strove to proclaim the testimony of God and proclaim nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is not our own wisdom that converts, nor our own eloquence of speech. It is the Word of God centered on that cross of Jesus Christ. As for me, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superior speech or wisdom in order to proclaim to you the testimony of God. For I had no intention of knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not marked by persuasive words of human wisdom, but by a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, but it is not a wisdom of this world or of the rulers of this world who are being reduced to nothing. Instead, we speak God's wisdom that has been hidden in a mystery. Before the ages, God foreordained that this wisdom would result in our glory. None of the rulers of this world knew it. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no human mind has conceived, that is what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God revealed it to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. We continue with a hymn of thanksgiving on page 5, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. I am certainly grateful for many blessings that we've received over the past 7.5 years here, but we rejoice most of all in the fact that the gospel was preached. Probably the most famous gospel passage is contained in our gospel reading for today, John 3:16. Jesus answered, "Amen, amen," or "Truly, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised when I tell you that you must be born from above. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can these things be?" asked Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees, a teacher of the law. "You are a teacher of Israel," Jesus answered, "and you do not know these things? Amen, amen, I tell you, we speak what we know, and we testify about what we have seen. But you people do not accept our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it."
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. We join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on page 6.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Thank you.
Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, who walks with us and guides us every step of the way to our heavenly home, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read verses 5 through 9. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So let me take you back a little more than 21 years ago to July 6th, 2003. On that Sunday, a brand new, green as could be, fresh from the seminary pastor preached his first sermon and used this very same text that I just read. That new pastor, in case you couldn't guess, was me. And that first sermon came at the end of what I would describe as a very rough week. To say it was like a living nightmare is probably putting it a little mildly. I hadn't anticipated just how lonely it was going to feel to be dropped 1,500 miles away from my friends and family and be kind of just plopped there all by myself in this new giant city of Houston. I wasn't anticipating just how stressful it would feel when you are the pastor. When you pick up that phone and you say, hello, this is Pastor Luke, and they ask you a question, you can't go to the supervising pastor or to somebody else. You have to answer that question. And then as the first day started and all my family had left, I thought, well, what do I do on my first day as a pastor? What's the first thing I do? There's so many things I can do, and my head began to spin. So I jumped on the lawnmower and mowed the lawn to try and collect my thoughts. It helped a bit, but it was still a very stressful week. In the middle of the week, my mom gave me a call, probably expecting to hear just how wonderful and how great the transition was for my first week. And I walked into an empty room in my house and sat down in the corner, and she says, Luke, how's the first week going? And I said, not good. And I started crying. So just so you know, I've been crying from way back. So if it happens again today, it's nothing new. To top it all off, near the end of the week, my computer crashed. And I barely got the sermon and the bulletins printed for the first Sunday. So that brings us to that moment where I finally get to preach my very first sermon. And if you thought I was nervous that day, just think of the congregation that was gathered there in the north suburb of Houston, Spring, Texas. Here was this kid, in case you didn't know, I barely looked old enough to drive when I was standing there in front of them on that first Sunday. This child, who barely looks old enough to drive, is going to be our pastor. He's going to guide our congregation. He's going to be the spiritual guide and shepherd of our congregation. At 25, I looked pretty young. People would come to the door and ask if the pastor was home. Is your dad here? It happened all the time. Turns out I don't get that anymore. I'm kind of sad that I don't get that anymore. As it turns out, this was the perfect sermon text for my first sermon in the ministry, and it was just the text that was for that Sunday. I didn't choose it intentionally, but God had plans for that day. The perfect text for me and the members of that congregation. It was an excellent reminder of just no matter how uncertain, how scary, how change-filled our lives can get, as Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm struck by how much that first sermon and the thoughts of that text and this theme are applicable to us today, on this day which I'm here to preach my last sermon to you as your full-time pastor. That day, much like this day, was a day of anticipation. But much like that day, it's also a day of uncertainty and even anxiousness about what the future would bring, and maybe some doubts as to whether God will make good on his promises, whether he's going to keep the spiritual needs of the congregation in his mind and care for you all in the future. And so if these are thoughts or feelings that you come to the worship service with today, and I will admit these are some feelings and thoughts that I have today as well, we need to be reminded of the words of our text. We walk by faith, not by sight. This should be one of our mottos as Christians, some words to live by. Why is this a good motto? Why is it so important in our life? Because when we walk by faith and not by sight, the Apostle Paul reminds us we can walk with confidence. In fact, he says in verse 6, we are always confident. Always. Even on a farewell Sunday. When we walk by faith, trusting in what God has promised us, not depending on what we can see, what we can observe, we can always walk with confidence. Now, I'll admit, when I first preached the words of this text on that very first Sunday, even as I was preaching them, I was not confident at all. I was not confident in myself, at least. I was, in fact, scared to death. And I had a conversation with some of the members a few years later, and I heard their end of that day, and they said, Pastor, we were pretty scared to death, too. We didn't know what was going to happen, and you show up, and we're like, oh, this is our pastor, huh? But I look back, and I say, well, how did it all work out? Looking back over the 21 years of my ministry, and looking back over our past 7.5 years together, I can look back with thankfulness. Thankfulness to the Lord for his grace and his faithfulness alone. Because I can tell you, if it was left to me, it would have been a disaster. And after my phone call with my mom that first Wednesday, I would have gotten on a plane and gone home. He has worked all things for good, even as he promised. So look back at your own life. Whether you look back 21 years ago, 50 years ago, or even just during our time together here at St. Stephen, can you see how God has worked all things for good in your life? Even when all you could observe with your eyes and your senses screamed, this is not good. This is not going to work out. This is going to end in disaster. I pray that by God's grace you can see his consistent, unconditional love and faithfulness at work in your life. So how about going forward? Aren't the words and theme of this text vitally important for us to hear as we sit here today and look to the future? What is it that's going to carry us and guide us through this time of uncertainty and change? Not just uncertainty and change for you, but also uncertainty and change for me. As pastors, we preach first to ourselves whenever we write a sermon. Well, what's going to carry us and guide us? The same thing that has carried us and guided us all along. For the past 7.5 years of my ministry here and for the entirety of our lives. And that is God and his word. Can we go forward and confidently walk by faith and not by sight? We can. We can. And let me share with you a paragraph from that very first sermon that I preached. Why can we walk so confidently? Look what God has promised us. Look what God has done for us. First of all, Paul tells us, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. What has God prepared for us? In the verses which come just before our sermon text, Paul tells us this temporary dwelling that we're living in, the tent of our body, will be swallowed up by life. That is what God has prepared for us. Life. Real life. Eternal life with him in heaven. He secured this life for us at the cost, the greatest cost to him. The suffering and crucifixion of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. If God was willing to go to that unthinkable extreme to make sure that we would share eternal life with Him in heaven, He is most certainly going to do everything necessary to ensure that we are fully taken care of in this life. Paul writes of this in Romans chapter 8, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Not only do we continue to walk confidently by faith as we enter a new chapter here at St. Stephen, we also walk in righteousness. The love that God has shown us in Christ inspires us to continue to show our love for others. In verse 9 of our text, Paul says, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." That's a reminder that whether it's here at St. Stephen, or in your homes, in your workplaces, in your schools, wherever you are scattered throughout the Bay Area, or throughout California, where a number of our members live, scattered throughout the state, we have so many opportunities to do things that are pleasing to Christ. Whether it's something as simple as preparing a meal for your family, taking care of your children, helping out at a work day here at church or school, serving food or cleaning up at a fellowship meal, or something as time-consuming as teaching at our Christian day school, serving on the church council, or in the women's auxiliary. All these acts of faith, great and small, are well-pleasing to Him. And these acts of love and service are especially important now as you are going to be served by our vacancy pastor, Mark Gullerud, and Lord willing, a new pastor in the future. He and the future pastor will need your love and your support as we go forward. Mark is not the same as me. The new pastor will not be the same as me. And in some ways, that's a very good thing. But in some ways, it might not be the way that you expect, or maybe not the way that you prefer. We all have different gifts. We all have different levels of experience. I'm sure that Mark and the new pastor will do things differently than I have done them. Will God still work things out for good? Yes. Again, if we look back and see how He's worked things out, as I went through a period of transition and change when I first got here 7.5 years ago, did He work those things out for good? I would say the answer is yes. But again, thanks to God's faithfulness and grace alone. You see, the important thing is, even though many things may change over the next few weeks, months, and years here for you at St. Stephen and for myself and Jules over the next few months and weeks and years, the most important thing will remain the same. I may be leaving this week, but Jesus has promised you and me, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I may not be preaching in the pulpit here anymore on Sundays, but you will still have God's word and Jesus' promise that heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will by no means pass away. And think of what a blessing it is and a reminder of God's providing for us that already next Sunday, God has provided that Pastor Gullerud will be right here preaching these same promises from God's word next Sunday. He and the next pastor will preach and teach the word faithfully to you in all its truth and purity, with all its authority, just like I strove to do while I was your pastor. Pastor Gullerud and the next pastor will administer the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism among you faithfully, and will pray for you and be concerned for your spiritual well-being. These are the things, the most important things, that will not change. So when we look at ourselves and our situation right now as a congregation, we might think there's pretty good reason to be afraid of the unknown, to be apprehensive or anxious about what lies ahead of us. We might wonder, as we've received the disappointing news again today that yet another pastor has returned our call, when is God going to send us our next pastor? What is the ministry of this new pastor, whenever he comes? What's it going to be like? We may think about how times there are more empty pews than full pews in church. We may be anxious or worried about the future of our school. This is what we might think, what we might feel when we walk by sight. But when we walk by what we see and can observe with our own eyes, we are not walking correctly. We're not truly walking with our eyes open. Because our text reminds us we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. By faith, we know that God has blessed you and me and this congregation and this school and this ministry at St. Stephen tremendously in the past. By faith, I know that God has a reason for bringing us all together and for allowing me to serve you and for allowing Jules and myself to live among you and serve with you for the past 7.5 years. And for that, I'm very grateful and thankful to him. By faith, I know that God has promised to bless those who preach, those who believe, and those who live by his word. They will be blessed. By faith, I know that we have the one thing that is needed for true life, and that is the very words of God himself, the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And by faith, I know that the next pastor, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will bring this powerful, life-saving, life-changing word to you and preach that gospel and the whole counsel of God faithfully to you to the best of his ability. Now, will there be some hard times, some adjustments, some difficulties ahead? Yes, there very well may be. Will there be some sorrow and some tears because we will not be able to see each other? Or serve God together on a regular basis as we have for the past 7.5 years. Yes, there most certainly will, and there already has been. But as Paul said in our text, we are always confident. After all, just because we walk by faith and not by sight does not mean that our faith is blind. It rests permanently, firmly, and confidently on the eternal words and promises of God himself. The Apostle Peter once wrote, and Peter was an eyewitness to these things, he said, "And we have the word of the prophets, God's word, made more certain even than seeing the resurrection of Jesus or the transfiguration of Jesus with our own eyes." He said, "It's more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." God sent his very own Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. He raised him from the dead to give us life. He has given us faith through his Holy Spirit's work in the Word and through the sacraments. That same Holy Spirit lives and works inside each one of us and has given us God's guarantee, as Paul says in verse 5, the guarantee of our future inheritance in heaven. Therefore, we can always be confident, and we can say with all believers in Christ, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you.
an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate
in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, hymn 720, We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. Please rise. Along with our general prayer for today, we pray prayers for those who were affected by the hurricane that struck Florida this past week, Hurricane Milton. We pray especially for God's providence and protection for my brother's family in Winter Haven and for Timothy Blank's family in the Fort Myers area, who were spared from much damage. They did not experience much damage at their homes and properties. So we praise God for that. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes, Terry.
My daughter is going to have undergoing a procedure tomorrow, and my safety while I travel to.
That's Patty, right?
Yes.
Any other prayer requests today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our Savior, our Heavenly Physician, we pray that you would be with Terry's daughter, Patty, as she goes in for a procedure tomorrow. Watch over her and be her comfort and strength, and bless the results of this test so that it may be favorable to her. We also pray for safe travel for Terry and pray that she would be a blessing and a comfort to Patty as she goes through this procedure. Almighty Father, ruler of wind and wave, we thank and praise you for protection and mercy on our loved ones in Florida, including my brother's family and Timothy Blank's brother's family, and for sparing them from severe loss during and after Hurricane Milton. Encourage them and strengthen them with this reminder of your power and grace as they clean up and recover from the storm's aftermath. Please continue to be with those who did suffer severe losses, whether it be of property or the lives of loved ones. Comfort them and strengthen them in their distress, and give them the peace that only Jesus can give, the peace of knowing that with him as their Savior, you will work all things for good, even tragedies, and even in the end, take them to heaven as you have promised. Supply their needs in both body and soul during this time of tragedy and loss for your mercy's sake. Dear Jesus, our Savior and Good Shepherd, we come before you, first of all, praising you for the many blessings you have given us over the past 7.5 years. We thank you for the time we've had together, serving each other and serving with each other in your kingdom. You have been with us, growing us closer to each other and closer to you in both good times and bad, through joys and sorrows during the years of my ministry here at St. Stephen, both in the Bay Area and with our members who are spread throughout California. We cannot thank you enough for your grace and blessings on these years you have given us. We also ask, O Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen all of our hearts during this time of transition and great change. Remove our doubts and fears, and help us to trust in you, our rock and our salvation, and to focus on your sure promises to be with us, and to work all things for our spiritual and eternal good. Help us to look back on our own lives and the history of this congregation, and remember your astounding faithfulness each time challenges, distressing events, uncertainties, and changes of pastors took place. You have always provided for us. You have always guided and directed us. You've always sustained the people of this congregation, and we ask you to do the same for all of us at this time, and especially as our congregations move forward together as one. Bless us with harmony, with brotherly love, and a spirit of cooperation, guided and directed by you as we go forward into this new chapter of service in your kingdom, here in the Bay Area and throughout California. Bless our congregation as we seek to call a new pastor soon, and do not let disappointment or doubt rule in our hearts and minds, but help us to remember that with you and because of you and your faithfulness, we can walk confidently and walk by faith, not by sight. We ask that you, dear shepherd, would bring a new shepherd to our flock just as soon as you see fit, and pray that you would prepare the right man for that task. Above all, we pray, your will be done. Give us hope amidst the heartache that goodbyes in this life so often bring. Dry our tears with the wonderful memories and joys that you have given us, and with the certainty that in you, through faith and fellowship with each other, we are never truly apart, and that we will in the end be together forever where there are no goodbyes in heaven. We trust in you, dear Jesus, and we pray that you would increase our trust in you and help us to walk with you by faith and not by sight every day. In your guiding and saving name, we pray these things. And in your name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Our choir is asked to come forward to sing their song, A Benediction. Please rise. And receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond then with a doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service today with the hymn, Christ Be My Leader. You're invited to stand for the last verse of that hymn. Please be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray you've been blessed with the message you heard today, and we'd like to welcome all of our guests and visitors who are with us. I invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. We also give a warm welcome to all of the school families who came. I didn't mention it as clearly in the sermon as I should have, but one of the joys and blessings that I've had here over the last 7.5 years is teaching and being a part of the school. So part of the reason I didn't mention it is because I knew I'd probably cry to that part the most. So thank you for all you've done for me over the years, too. There will be a fellowship meal in the fellowship hall after the service today. You're all welcome to join us for that, to say some goodbyes and to get some good food, so please join us if you are able. This week, there is no school. The teachers will be heading to their teachers' conference in Minnesota, and the school is on fall break from Monday through Friday. Tuesday is the actual pulling out of the driveway and moving and heading towards Wisconsin, which is hopefully not quite hit winter yet when we get there. It's supposed to be peak fall color season, so I'm rooting for that more than rooting for snowfalls, snow flurries at the end of October. Lord willing, we'll be arriving there on Saturday. I put in the bulletin also the website address for Messiah, the church that we'll be moving to. If you'd like to watch the installation service next Sunday. It comes on here at 8 a.m. bright and early. You can watch the archived version on the website also if you'd like. And our new address is in the bulletin as well. So please do keep in touch. Our email addresses and our phone numbers will remain the same. Next Sunday, worship service will be here at the usual time of 10 a.m. Pastor Mark Gullard will be taking the sermon, and Timothy Blank will be doing the liturgy for us next Sunday. Please come and join us for worship then. Also, a neglected thing in the bulletin, partly because didn't get it put in time, and partly because there was a lot to put in the bulletin, I forgot to give a gigantic thank you to all who helped with the move and the loading yesterday. That was fantastic to see so many people help us. We couldn't have done it without you. The loaders came, of course, at 9:45 this morning as I was finishing Bible class, calling, telling me that they were here. So they couldn't have come at noon today or at 12:30. They came at 9:45 as I was finishing Bible class. So we're on our way, so to speak. So we're making progress. Thank you all for your help loading and those who helped with the meal and your support and prayers. We appreciate all of you very much. As I briefly mentioned in the sermon, we did hear back from Pastor Hanel, and he has returned our call to serve as pastor here. So we will be having another call meeting scheduled for Reformation Sunday, which is October 27th. So that will be following the church service on that Sunday. So voters and congregation members, please join us for that call meeting on the 27th. There is a World Missions prayer list in the bulletin at the last page of the bulletin. Please read over those things and keep our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world in your prayers as you go about your week. Are there any other announcements today? Yes, Angela.
I wanted to take a group picture, and I'm always taking a group picture, so I was wondering if it was possible, and I should have checked in with you, if we, instead of walking out, we can just walk in and do a group picture, just to remember these moments on the side of it, and I will send it to everybody.
Sure.
That way we only do it with
my okay. We don't usher people out in church anyway. We started that a couple weeks ago, so you're not getting ushered out, so if you would please just join up here and we'll get a picture before we walk into the fellowship hall. I will be the first one out after the picture to greet you on the way out, but gather up here first for a picture and then we will exit the sanctuary.